وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. The night of Ashura has come. Azzamallah ujurana wa ujurakum. I'd like to express my condolences first and foremost to our master, the Imam of our time, the one that we should be pledging our allegiance to and be obedient to, the one who sheds tears, and according to the ziyarat that is narrated from him, for what happened in Karbala, one should weep blood for the household of the Holy Prophet. We hope that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us on this night and tomorrow, that we express our sadness. We have the tawfiq, the blessing to be able to express it and to satisfy our Imam with that. Recite a salawat, please. As you all know, the topic that we've been covering for the last 9 nights, or this is the 9th night, is the topic of the qualities of the companions of our Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. We mentioned a number of qualities. Tonight we want to mention the last one that we can in these sessions, and I feel, in a way, at least, it's the important, the most important one. This quality is the quality of identifying and following the leadership and the right way. This is one of the most important, if not the most important quality of the companions of the Imam. At every age, every time, you need to identify the individual, the line of thought that is the correct line of thought, which is set as your leadership. You gotta identify that. If we don't do that, we'll be in deep trouble. Human beings, as a social being, is always in need of leadership. Whenever there's at least two people, at the very least, two people. And even at that level, you have this leadership. When you have at least two people living together, you will have leadership. There's hadith, when two people want to go on a trip, have one of them as the leader. One of them makes the decisions. But of course, even if the hadith was not there, that naturally happens. In a family life, there's always one individual that takes the leadership role. Sometimes it's the man, sometimes it's the wife. depends who's stronger. We always have that. It comes natural. In the most simple societies of human beings, the Bedouins, which did not have any form of government, they have leadership amongst themselves. The heads of the tribes, the chiefs. Leadership, brothers and sisters, is one of the elements, one of the necessary elements of human life. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to see it or not, it's a fact of human life. There's always two types of leadership, brothers and sisters. The leadership that leads us in the right direction, and the leadership that leads us to the wrong direction. There's an interesting verse of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Isra, verse 71, says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم. The day of judgment is the day that we will call each people with their imam. The good with their imam, and the bad with their imam. We have in Surah Bara'ah or Surah Tawbah that kill a'immat al-kufr, the imams of kufr, the leaders of kufr. Another verse of the Holy Quran dealing with the issue of leadership on the Day of Judgment is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah verses 166 and 167 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا ورأوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب. When people follow the wrong leadership that guided them in the wrong direction on the Day of Judgment, this false leadership, the leadership towards Jahannam, towards the hellfire, on that day, the verse says that those who were being followed, the leaders, are going to say, we have nothing to do with these guys. The ones who followed. The people, the general public who followed these leaders, the leaders would say, we have nothing to do with these people. And the next verse says, the ones who followed say, that we want a chance. We want a chance to say that we have nothing to do with these individuals either. But it's too late. Brothers and sisters, recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Following and accepting a leadership, you know, this topic of leadership in Islam, especially during the time of the occultation, is a discussion that we've heard over and over again. It has become an issue of debate. A lot of people discuss it, pros and cons. They term it wilayatul faqih. Okay. Some people say, now my topic is not necessarily related to this concept in particular, but those who disagree with the idea, they talk about, no, there's no such a concept in Islam. They fail to realize the human being cannot be without leadership. The question is, who is going to be your leader, not whether you're going to have leadership or not. This is very important to understand, brothers and sisters. You either choose your leader, or you allow the leader to just become a leader. You make sure your leader is the right leader, or you end up following the wrong leader without even knowing it. This is a problem that has existed in our history as the Shia, and it's caused problems. You can't say, I don't want to deal with the issue of leadership. I don't want to contemplate on it. I don't want to think about who is my leader. At any time, every age. When we talk about the concept of imam, and we talk about the issue of leadership, and especially in today, you want to talk about leadership, a lot of people say, yeah, my leader is the imam. That's one thing said, but where is the imam? How are we following the imam? Where is that leadership? During the time of the existence of the imam, the presence of the imam with the people, we still see there's an issue of leadership that people didn't pay attention to, and problems came up amongst the Shia. If we don't be careful as those preparing for the coming of our Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahu.
When the time comes, we could fall under the wrong leadership without even noticing it. The key point that I mentioned regarding leadership being a natural part of our life is something to keep in our minds. In our small communities, the people that we refer to and we rely on, they're taking a leadership role, brothers and sisters. We may not call them the imam, or maybe sometimes we do, but they are our leaders. It's important to realize, make sure we got the right people as our leaders. In the story of Karbala, part of the analysis that needs to be made is about what happened that all of these people, all of the 18,000 people that pledged allegiance to Muslim ibn Aqil, ended up going against their pledge of allegiance. They didn't necessarily participate in Karbala against the Imam, but they broke their pledge. What happened? Some of our scholars have discussed this phenomenon, this event that took place, to try to analyze it. One of the issues that is seriously related to the people not following their imam, the person that they called themselves and they pledged allegiance to through Muslim ibn Aqil, was the leadership that they had unintentionally chosen to follow. Without being aware, they had these leaders, the influential figures in their communities. During those times, it was the heads of tribes mainly. When the heads of tribes were either bribed or they were scared of what was going on, they decided not to go on with their pledge. What happened? The people under them, although they had pledged allegiance too, they ended up not following. If we're not careful, with the leadership that we are under the influence of, when the time comes to make a decision between haqq and batil, as we discussed the issue of the fitna yesterday, that in the face of fitna, you have haqq and batil mixed. If you haven't identified who your leader is before the fitna comes, you'll be struggling who that leadership is supposed to be. And I mean following the leader consciously, knowing who you're following. And the recent events in the Islamic Republic, an interesting phenomenon happened, that as I quoted Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi one of the previous nights about something very interesting he said, which was, sometimes you hear things about history, it doesn't quite make sense to you until you actually feel it. Once you feel it, you're like, wow, you know, now I understand what happened. You look at the history of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayh. You see a great number of people, 40,000 people, going with Amir al-Mu'mineen, all hyped up. They travel a long distance to Siffin to fight Muawiyah. It's not an easy task. They put all that effort there. They go there, they arrive. They fight very, very hard. They're about to accomplish their goal. They've defeated most of the brigades of the army. They're close to the tent of Muawiyah. Some of the commanders actually get to the tent of Muawiyah. They're about to take him over too. But what happens? This leadership that they had identified for themselves, they went to the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen and said, please come and lead us. On the Battle of Siffin, they wanted to go with Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is their leader. They had identified him. But in Siffin, instead of going and fighting Muawiyah, now they turn and raise their swords against Amir al-Mu'mineen. The battle that was won against Muawiyah was lost. Why did that happen? Because these people that considered Amir al-Mu'mineen their actual leader, they had one of the factors, they had these other leaders. They had these other leaders. They may not have said, I have that individual as my leader, but that individual had influence on them. That influential figure makes them doubt that individual that they had chosen as a leader is still their leader or not. You believe this man to be your imam, but the influential figures gradually start to make you doubt. Is this guy your leader any longer? Is he qualified? The recent events that I was talking about, the same phenomena happened. That's why we got to be aware. Like, we weren't part of that, most of us at least here. It had nothing to do with us directly. Indirectly it may have, and I think it does have a lot to do with us. But people that were diehard revolutionaries, some of the first to call Ayatollah Khamenei, Imam Khamenei, okay, in the events, they started questioning, is this man a leader? Is he our leader any longer or not? Is he qualified or not? Because the influential figures that we haven't even chosen as our leaders have got this effect on us. The imam could come, the same thing as we said with Amir al-Mu'mineen, we consider him our imam. We see the signs. There's hadith that there's very clear signs for the coming of our imam, Imam al-Hujjaj, jalallahu ta'ala farajahu
sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The clearest sign is that there's going to be a call from the sky, an announcement that everyone will hear. And it's supposed to be something that is supernatural. It's obvious for everyone. All of us will know it's taking place. But according to hadith, there will be some of us, the Shia, that will go against the imam. Some will be leaders, some will be followers of those leaders against the 12th imam. And those leaders will be of the Shia, brothers and sisters, because according to the hadith, they'll be the ones that thought the imam is going to be one of them. But they see he's not. They see he's not. The influential figures that we rely on, brothers and sisters, are our leaders, whether we notice that or not. The important thing is to actually pay attention and try to identify the people that have the influence on me, see if they're qualified for the leadership that they're supposed to have, or are they not qualified? And if they're not qualified, I shouldn't be following them. Recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One of the qualifications of leadership in Islam is knowledge. When you look at the leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forth for humanity, the prophets, you see the element of knowledge. The wahy, the revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them divine knowledge. Okay. It starts there. The awsiya of the prophets. And then you get to the imams. When you get to the imams, you also see the aspect of knowledge. There's a lot of ahadith that tell us the الراسخون في العلم that is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, those who have deep knowledge, it refers to the Ahlul Bayt. Okay. When it talks about the Ahlul Dhikr, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, ask those who do know. The Ahlul Dhikr are the Ahlul Bayt. There's many ahadith that identify the qualification of the knowledge in the Ahlul Bayt, and we spent a whole session here in one of the previous nights talking about that aspect, the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt, the imams that we are supposed to be following. When we look at the Holy Quran, talking about individuals that were neither prophets, nor were they imams, or the awsiya, we see the criterion that the Holy Quran gives us for leadership, again, is the aspect of knowledge. Where is that found in the Holy Quran? In Surah Baqarah, again. In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a prophet of Bani Israel, that the people were oppressed, and this prophet was their prophet. They went to the prophet and said, could you appoint for us a leader, so that we can, under his leadership, go and fight the enemy? The Prophet appointed a leader. The Jews protested. Why is this individual accepted as a leader? Why is he put forth as our leader? He doesn't have wealth. Well, this is a good verse, brothers and sisters, for those we're looking to research Islam's ideology on capitalism. Okay, that's what the Jews believed 1400 years ago, and before 1400 years ago. This is during their time, before our Prophet's time. They said he doesn't have enough wealth. They thought that the qualification of leadership is wealth, which is what capitalism believes in. Okay. You've got capital, you have money, you can lead. You have all that money to spend and then make twice more while you're in office. You can lead. Otherwise you can't. If you got the support of the Richies, AIPAC and the others, you can lead. If you don't have, then you can't. It's capitalism. It's the Jewish system that according to the Holy Quran existed at those times. That was their mentality. And it still exists. So they protested. Said this guy doesn't have wealth. Then the name of the leader that the Prophet had appointed was Talut. The answer that came from the Prophet, that was from God, was this: وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. He's got the qualification of knowledge, and he's got the qualification that is necessary for battle. His body is strong. He's got a strong body, and he knows how to fight. He's got that knowledge. Okay. When we look at the Ahlul Bayt, when they appointed leaders for the Shia community, we see the same quality is taken into consideration. During the time of Imam al-Baqir salamullah
alayhi,
the number of Shia started to grow in different parts of the Muslim empire. They were scattered, some in Kufa, some in Basra, some in Qazwin, some in Qom, some in Ahwaz, some in Kashan. In Yemen you had some. They're all scattered. To keep contact with the Imam, direct contact all the time was not possible. So what they did, the Imams, they developed an establishment called the establishment of Wikala. They had Wakil, Wukala. They appointed a wakil for each city. Sometimes you had more than one wakil in a city if it was a large city. Okay. When you look at all of these wukala, from the time that the establishment begun, you see that the imams appointed the knowledgeable people, those who had the knowledge of the religion. They were the wukala. There's an individual by the name of Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Bata'ini. We have a large number of hadith that is narrated through him from the Ahlul Bayt. A very large number. It's in the thousands. Okay. This is one of the wukala. Another of the wukala, that wakil Ali ibn Abi Hamza is in Baghdad. Another of the wukala is Ali ibn Mahziyar al-Ahwazi. He's buried in Ahwaz for those who travel to Iran. Southwest of Iran, there's a city called Ahwaz. He's buried there. He also has a large number of hadith that he narrates. One of the scholars. Okay. In Qum, the wakil is a scholar. In Basra, it is a scholar. Ulama, the principle, the quality of ilm and knowledge is a criterion for leadership. The more people got close to the time of the occultation, the Ahlul Bayt tried to put the weight of leadership of the Shia Ummah over the shoulders of their representatives instead of themselves. To the extent that during the time of Imam al-Askari salamullah alayhi, when people came to the Imam to try to speak to him, to try to ask a question, even when they came directly, sometimes the Imams would refer the individual to their wukala in the city that they came from. And sometimes if they wanted to speak to them directly, they wouldn't allow them to see the imam. They would have a curtain between them and speak from behind the curtain. Because you got to prepare the people for the idea that you have an imam, but you can't see him. Okay, you're not going to have direct contact with him. The time of the minor occultation begins. غَيْبَةُ الصُّغْرَى. Who are the representatives? There's four main representatives. The Nuwab al-Arba'ah. And then you have the other wukala that work under these main representatives. There's two of them. The last name is Al-Amri. And by the way, the person who is the leader of the Shias in Medina is a descendant of this family. Anyhow, the first two are the Amris. Then there's Husayn ibn Ruh. A fourth individual. All four are known to be as ulama, as scholars. The quality of knowledge is taken into consideration. When the imams want to put the responsibility of leadership while they're still with the people on some people, they choose those who have the quality of knowledge. And when the imam wants to go into the major occultation, Al-Ghaybatul Kubra, there's a statement from the imam. There's a few questions, a number of questions that are asked from the imam indirectly through one of these nawab. One of the questions is, O imam, during the time of your occultation where we don't have access to you, what are we supposed to do? And events that come about, what are we supposed to do? The imam says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعَةِ فَرْجَوْا إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ حَدِيثِنَا فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. When events take place, refer to those who narrate our ahadith. Again, those who know the ahadith, those who have the quality of knowledge. Because they are my hujjah, my proof on you, and I am the hujjah of Allah. Wherever there is leadership in Islam, we see from the direct leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints directly, the quality of knowledge is taken into consideration. To those that are indirectly chosen through the representatives of God on earth, there's always the quality of knowledge. But knowledge, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about leadership, is not only knowing the ahadith. Leadership, remember the story of Talut that we quoted. It says, he's got more knowledge and he's stronger. وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِزْمِ. His body is stronger and he's got knowledge. There's another qualification. When the job requires qualification, other qualifications, it's got to be there. Leading a group of people requires the individual to know how, to know the howabouts of politics. So he's not fooled. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Before I go on with this, knowing the politics, okay, it's very logical that we say we need to have the leadership knowing what they're saying. That's pretty logical. We understand that. But remember the idea that we mentioned, that sometimes unintentionally we're accepting people as leaders that are not qualified. I know this individual doesn't know. He hasn't studied. But when he gives classes, I still attend. I'm being influenced. That's leadership. I know this guy doesn't have the information, but I still go and listen continuously. He becomes my hero. You're giving leadership there, brothers and sisters. Be careful. The knowledge that is required for leadership is not only to know fiqh. If a person knows fiqh inside out, they know the ahkam inside out, but they have no clue what politics is about, what managing this large body of people is all about, where the people with the desires to take over, with the people that are working for their personal interest, will start to look like very good individuals, very good Muslimin, and they can fool the leadership. He's got to know how to deal with that. So many people, so many groups came to Imam Khomeini during the revolution, and they wanted approval. A lot of the scholars that had this knowledge of the religion, they're like, oh, Imam Khomeini, if you can approve this group, we're small in number. These guys are doing a good job. They're going against the regime. Let's approve them. Imam Khomeini, no. From the age, his early teens, he's involved in social issues, the political issues of his hometown, Khomeini. Continuously until the time he starts the revolution. You gotta know that. You gotta be qualified in that way. Otherwise, you can be fooled. That's why not every individual with the knowledge of fiqh can be a leader. You can learn fiqh from them, you can learn your ahkam from them, but they can't be your leader. Because with what they know, if they get it wrong, which they will without having the right information, they'll think these people that look very religious, they have their beards in front of him, they're praying, they're fasting, they're talking good about him, they're talking good about the religion, and behind his back, they're even making fun of him, are very good people. Can't read between the lines. That was the main problem that, may Allah forgive him, Ayatollah Muntadhiri had. He was very knowledgeable in fiqh. He's written a lot of books in fiqh. Very strong. But when it comes to know about how to work with people, how to identify those who are trying to fool you from those who are actually sincere, he didn't know. And it's happened in history a lot of times. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajri ajrahum.
But the quality that I want to emphasize more on of the leadership that we're supposed to follow is the quality of idala. The quality of idala. Being just. An alim with the knowledge that he has, if he is not pious, if he doesn't fear God, if he doesn't want to go according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could be the most dangerous enemy of the religion very easily. Because he knows a lot more than you do. You think what he's saying is the truth about the religion, but it's not. And people listen because he's the knowledgeable one. When we look at the history of the prophets, the reason why the Jews did not listen to the prophet in Medina was because of their scholars. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. The Jews took these individuals as leaders. They're scholars. They took them as leaders in going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had clear evidence that this is the Prophet of Allah. He's the last messenger. But they went against it because their scholars told them, no, he's not the last prophet. It's very easy to be fooled. In our Shia history, brothers and sisters, there was a big fitna that was caused by scholars. The wukala that we talked about, some of these individuals which were scholars, they were representatives of the Imam. Imam al-Kadhim salamullahi alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajum.
They created an offshoot from Shia Islam called the Waqifis. Imam al-Kadhim, salamullah alayh, was imprisoned a number of times. The last time that he was imprisoned, that he was assassinated in the prison, and poisoned, and became shaheed, he was in the prison for 2 years. During the 2 years, the Shia, just like before, they would bring their khums to the representatives, and over 2 years, it gathered to be a large sum of money. The Imam became shaheed. This is the seventh Imam. What did they do? Remember the individual I mentioned, Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Bata'ini, that has narrated so many hadith for a few thousand dinar. A few. I think it was less than 10,000 dinar, 10,000 gold coins that he had. Because of that, they claim that Imam al-Ridha is lying, he is not the Imam. Imam al-Kadhim is the Mahdi, he's gone into his occultation. You would think that people would know better, but they fell for it. It became a huge fitna. Some of the closest companions of the Imams, like someone by the name of Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Nasr al-Bazanti, a close companion of the seventh Imam, he falls for it. A year later, he writes a letter to Imam Ridha salamullah alayhi, telling him, I express my condolences because up to this point, I wasn't sure your father had passed away. I thought he's gone into occultation. Yes. Scholars with turbans on their heads could give you wrong information. You got to be careful. Just because they have a turban on their head doesn't mean anything. Black or white doesn't make a difference. It's not only the quality of ilm. The quality of knowledge without the second qualification of idala is more dangerous than not having that. A few individuals, Ziyad al-Qandi, Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Bata'ini, because of the little bit of money that they had with them, they decided to betray the Imam. And people that thought they had the Imams as their leaders, because they were under the influence of these individuals, they ended up listening to them instead of going to the next Imam. We could fall under the same situation and make the same wrong decision, brothers and sisters. Got to be careful of the leadership that we choose, sometimes unintentionally. Regarding the quality of ulama, we have a number of ahadith. It is so important that so many ahadith have come in this regard. There's an interesting one from Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala
This is something, brothers and sisters, for us to actually identify the scholars that you can listen to and the scholars that you can't listen to. Of course, this is after considering that they are knowledgeable. It amazes me that people know someone is not knowledgeable, they still go to them. But for those who are knowledgeable, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi says this, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ الْعَالِمَ مُحِبًّا لِدُنْيَاهَ فَاتَّهِمُوهُ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ. If you see a scholar, if you see a scholar likes the dunya, likes luxurious cars, extraordinary cars, or homes, they can't live in a normal house. It's got to be something extraordinary. The car, no. A normal car is not going to do. It's got to be extraordinary. That's a dangerous sign, brothers and sisters. According to this hadith, if you see such a scholar, don't just take what they say. فَاتَّهِمُوهُ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ. Whatever they say about the religion, have a question mark, a big question mark in your mind. Is what he's saying right? Or is he saying it for his personal interest? Is he saying that this ruling in Islam is that it's ja'iz for you to do such and such because it's really ja'iz, it's really right? Or it's because he wants you to come to the masjid because you bring in big bucks? Why is he giving that information? One day they say one thing, the other day they change their words. Because of the dunya. Let's not say anything about what is going on in the world. Let's not participate in that. I hope this is not the case, but it may be, and I think to a certain extent it is, that the demonstration that was cancelled in New York, because people know that if they announce there's such a thing going on as well, or if others see it, they're afraid that not too many people are going to show up. If we say this in the masjid, not too many people are going to show up, and that means we're not going to have the funds. If you see an alim that is occupied with the dunya, with extravagance, that's a big no-no. You got to be careful with that. He quotes a revelation to Prophet Dawood, quoting the Holy Prophet, that the Holy Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Dawood, لا تجعل بيني وبينك عالما مفتونا بالدنيا فيصدك عن طريق محبتي. Don't put between you and I an alim that is, when it comes to the dunya, he can't control himself. Because he is going to stop you from reaching me. فَإِنَّ أُولَٰئِكَ قُطَّاعُ طَرِيقِ عِبَادِيَ الْمُرِيدِينَ. They are the thugs on the path of those who want to reach me. Umar ibn Sa'd was a scholar. Umar ibn Sa'd was a scholar. It's interesting the way these guys spoke in Karbala. They would speak as though what they're doing is sacred. killing the grandson of the Prophet is sacred. Why? Because of Ray. He couldn't control himself. Ruling over Ray. If you see the dunya is something that has entered the life of an alim, that's where you start saying, oh, that's a sign for me to move away. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا دُخُولُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. What does it mean that they've entered the dunya? قال اتباع السلطان فإذا فعلوا ذلك فاحذروهم على دينكم. Entering the dunya is following the establishment. This is a hadith, brothers and sisters. It's amazing how much relevant a hadith you find that it seems like they've been said 1400 years ago for today. If you see an alim sucking up to the government, allowing government officials to come into the center, the government officials that are responsible for sending bombs to kill our Shia brothers and sisters in South Lebanon, while people are protesting that, that's a bad sign. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Recite another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. I wanted to go over another hadith. This is a khutbah from Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayh, regarding this issue, but I think you're tired and I'm tired. The point, brothers and sisters, the leadership, if you're not careful, you and I are not careful, a lot of people that we don't consider our leaders even. If you ask me, is such and such person your leader? I'd say no. I just attend his lectures. I just attend his classes. I just attend that mosque. Okay. I don't consider that individual my leader. If we don't pay attention whether that individual is a qualified leader or not, when fitna comes, that attachment of mind to that individual is going to cause me to, at the very least, be confused and make the wrong decision. That's what happened to people in Kufa, some of them at least. Some of the Shia that wanted to participate in the battle and join Imam al-Hussein, because those that they were influenced by decided not to go, it created doubts in their minds. In these days, we come together, we decide that there's a need, a social need, we need to go on the streets, demonstrate. But some of the leaders in our communities say that it's not right. We don't even consider that individual our leader. But we're confused because of that attachment. You've got to get it straight, brothers and sisters. We have to get it straight. We have to identify the leader with the proper leadership skills and qualifications and make sure that I'm really following him. I know what he says. I know, I get the impression of how he's given me the information regarding how the world is functioning right now. Otherwise we may get lost. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka. Ya Aba Abdillah السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي خلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين It is the night of Ashura It is a custom that this night belongs to our noble Imam himself. Sallallahu alayk. Ayyuha al-shayyid. بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you O Imam Al-Husayn O you who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates with a thirsty mouth. There came a time in Karbala on the day of Ashura. Everyone is gone. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله The Imam with the bare head all alone All the men have gone, they've all become shaheed. There's no Zuhayr to protect the Imam. There's no Habib to shed his blood for the Imam. Abbas is gone. Ali ibn al-Akbar is gone. The enemy finds the individual that they've come here for assassinating. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Imam al-Husayn looks to the right and to the left. There's no one there. He says, Hal min nasirin yansurani. هل من ذاب يذب عن حرم رسول الله The Imam At this point, it's the afternoon of Ashura. He's fat from this morning without any water. Imagine in the heat of Karbala, the Imam is thirsty. He starts to move towards the Sharia to get some water. At this point, he asks one of the individuals, he calls out, "O people of Kufa, is there anyone to give me water?" One of the individuals of the enemy brings a glass of water for the Imam. But when the Imam wants to drink that, another of the enemy throws an arrow that hits the mouth of the Imam. The water spills. He wants to get some water. He starts to move towards the Sharia. The enemy comes between the Imam and the tents. In other words, Imam al-Hussein realizes the enemy wants to attack the tents, the women and children while he's still alive. He says, "Ya Shi'atu Ali Abi Sufyan, if you're not Muslim, at least be men. I'm still alive. You can't attack my family." Sallallahu alayka ya madloom. At this point, they all came around the Imam. They circled him from all directions. One individual from the back strikes the right shoulder of the Imam. Another strikes the neck of the Imam. Sallallahu alayka ya madloom. The Imam falls onto the ground. Imagine all those ruthless people. Your Imam is on the hot sands of Karbala. They say when they found the body of Imam al-Hussein, they counted the strikes and the wounds on the body. There were 33 wounds and deep cuts on the body. They came close to the Imam. One of the enemy took a spear and struck the chest of the Imam. Sallallahu alayka ya madloom. At this point, one of the young boys from the campsite of the Imam, according to some history books, it's Abdullah ibn al-Hazan. He comes, he sees his uncle on the ground. "Oh, enemy, I'm not going to allow you to strike my uncle. The sword is up in the sky to strike the Imam." Abdullah puts his hands, the only thing he has, to stop the sword from hitting his uncle. The enemy strikes, the hands of Abdullah are hanging. Imam al-Hussein, sallallahu alayhi, how you felt at that moment.
your nephew, your young nephew. The remembrance of Imam al-Hassan is there. You can't help him. They beheaded Abdullah before the eyes of the Imam. And so many strikes came. The Imam was lying on his stomach. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. How can I describe what happened after that? All I can say, the women had come close. Zainab had come on to Tal al-Zainabiyya. When she arrived there, she saw والشمر جالس على صدره الشمر is sitting on the back of the imam. He wants to finish the job of the imam. صلى الله عليك. He takes his nap. A few moments later, the enemy is bragging between themselves. They're carrying the head of the imam. Sallallahu alayhi. Ya Mazlum, Ya Aba Abdillah, Ruqi Laka Al-Fida. Allahumma inna nas'aluka wa nad'uk bismika al-azim al-a'zam الأعز الأجل الأكرام بدم المظلوم بدم المظلوم بدم المظلوم بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. O Allah, we ask you, by the right of this night, by the right of the blood that dripped from the throat of Imam al-Hussein, by the right of the children who have got to prepare for hardship and captivity tomorrow, by the right of Hadrat Zainab, and her pains that she had in her heart, we ask you to please hasten the return of our Imam. O Allah, we ask you by the right of Imam al-Hussein to enable us to be of his close companions. O Allah, we ask you that this love that we have for Imam al-Hussein and for the Ahlul Bayt, for you to increase it. O Allah, we ask you to turn this love into obedience of the Imam. O Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all our maraja and especially our leader. O Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam. O Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask you to forgive our parents and all those who have taught us a word in Islam of their sins. O Allah, we ask you to give the all the hajat to the mu'mineen and mu'minat. O Allah, we ask you to forgive, to free all those who are under oppression. O Allah, we ask you to especially free the mu'mineen and mu'minat under oppression, people in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, that are being killed. O Allah, we ask you that the prayers that we made and the requests that we made, that you grant us, and those that we have not made, but we need, that you also bestow upon us.
Ameen.
In Nabi wa Alih, rahimallahu man qara'a al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat.